blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 278, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 278. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 14 and 23 through 27. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill. And thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Genesis 17, 1 through 14 and 23 through 27. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abram, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee, every man child among you, shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Verse 23, And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine, and when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old, and when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. We will now read the form for the administration of holy baptism, which you can find on page 55 or 126 in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, in the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. Therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein, when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 444, stanza 7. Jehovah's mercy floweth like a river from everlasting and abideth ever on those that love and worship him with awe. His righteousness shall bless the habitations of children's children through the generations that keep his covenant and obey his law. Psalter number 444, stanza 7. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. Therefore, That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of His church ought to be baptized. Secondly, and whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and the New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Mr. and Mrs. Bert Grisnick? Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Busicum? Dear parents, we have heard for a few moments out of our precious form and what the meaning of holy baptism is. And in the providence of the Lord in this morning, that we have come to the consideration of these matters in the words of the portion that we hope to consider. And therefore, we will be short in these moments, but just several things. In the first place, who was it that the Lord commanded Abram to circumcise? We read that was to be done to his children and to his children's children, but also unto his servants. And we see something in this. Why is it also to his servants? That was because those servants were within the household of Abraham. And Abraham therefore instructed not only his children, but also his servants. We see therefore what the Lord connects together in that sacrament, that He connects the sacrament of circumcision, which has now become baptism, with a godly instruction. And therefore, it is incumbent on us as a consistory to be relatively sure when we baptize a child that this child is going to be instructed in the holy word of God, to be brought up under the means. Therefore, we may in a personal way ask ourselves, how is it with us in our household and with the instruction as our children grow older in that truth of that holy word of God? In the second place, we see that that circumcision that was not withheld from Ishmael. Thus, the Lord is not making a distinction in an outward way between those who are His own in an inward way and those who are the children within the outward church. But that is also a solemn thing for us, saying to us that those that are baptized, they do not necessarily receive the blessing that is connected to baptism. And therefore, may the Lord keep us from resting upon this sacrament which is administered also unto your child, but that we may storm that throne of grace and that the outward sign may not testify against our children, but that it may be sanctified unto their hearts. There is one more thing that we find remarkable, and that is what we have read together in the last verse. And all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Thus we do not read of a single man. We know that Abraham had 318 trained servants. And we do not read of a single one of all those servants that has rebelled against being circumcised. Although that this sacrament that had its shame connected to it, we hope to hear that it was a confession of iniquity, of sin that lay within man that had to be done away. Although also that was a sacrament which was painful, and in a certain sense also dangerous, that it could have also taken a person's life, that not a single one of his servants rebelled against this, but all of them submitted to this sacrament. We know what the Lord said of Abram, that he knew that he would command his children and his household after him, and that they would walk in the ways of the Lord, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that thing which he had spoken to him of. And then we see how that the instruction of Abraham was blessed. And when he has instructed his children, when he has instructed his servants, especially in the way of submission unto the Most High God, and that he reaped a great reward in his household when there was not one rebellious among them. We hope that the Lord may so give you as parents to instruct your children in that submission, that is submission unto yourself as authority in the household, but in that is submission unto God and all of his ordinances, and that so also submission unto this ordinance may be sanctified for the welfare of your children. Congregation, we ask you to arise after baptism and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. Brook Genessa, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Thomas James, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hey. Let us close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, and through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only Teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, and that a Holy Spirit also may remember Thy church in the days in which we live. For, Lord, it is a church which stands so in need of that comfort that Thou givest with this Thy holy sacrament. Thou knowest that the warfare that is within. Thou knowest the mystery of the walk of that life, wherein the questions and the riddles do multiply themselves from day to day, and that so often that same prince of darkness and does tempt them, even as he has tempted Thee, O Lord Jesus, and that they also would sin a sin wherein they would make it for themselves impossible ever to enter into that blessed kingdom. Lord, Thou art the witness, and Thy church, they have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of their infirmities, who was tempted in all points like as they are, and yet without sin. Oh, could it please Thee in this Thy holy day, and when they are brought round about Thy holy word and everlasting testimony, to put a little separation for a few moments from all the things which can hinder the receiving of the blessed comfort of Thy word and sacrament. O Lord, that in this day, and the prince of darkness may be held by Thee from coming to dwell amongst us in this place, to chastise Thy people, to seek their life, to seek their blood, and also to hold each one, and that is still in that awful darkness, in the grip of His hands, in the grip of death, that spiritual death from which they cannot rise.
Lord, wilt thou remember us in this morning hour, and that thou would put away that prince of darkness, and that thou would leave thy spirit to come amongst us and to work with might and with power, that the dead may be raised, and that thy arm may show forth its great power, that thy voice may be powerful in the hearts of many in this day, that there may be saving impressions born in the midst of the congregation. Lord, remember us. To whom else can we go but unto thee? Wilt thou be with us in a natural way in all the needs and cares of this life, all widows, widowers, and orphans, and all afflicted and sick ones, and any that may not be able to gather with us in this morning, and be with them in their places in this day, and if there are those that had no desire, oh, work thou with thy spirit, Lord, who art able to overcome the desire and to give new desires, a new will, a new heart, a new affection, a new love. And then they shall come with weeping and with supplications wilt thou draw them. Look on us then in mercy and forgive and take away all that is sinful. Give free course for a few moments to thy holy word, that it may go forth with liberty, and that it may go forth with a blessing into the hearts of many, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 114, stanzas 1, 2, 6, and 7, as thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirst my soul, O God, for thee. It seeks for God and ever looks and longs the living God to see, and longs the living God to see. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 114, 1, 2, 6, and 7. Congregation, our text for this morning hour can be found in the portion of the Word of God which was read to you, Genesis 17, the 10th verse. Genesis 17, verse 10. This is my covenant in which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. So far the words of our text. A sign and seal of God's covenant given unto Abraham. First, the significance of this sign and seal. And second, the demand concerning this sign and seal. A sign and seal of God's covenant given unto Abraham. First, its significance, and second, its demand. This is my covenant between me and you. That is, congregation, a great wonder. And why such a great wonder? Because, first of all, of the person who is here speaking. And who is that person? That is God. And not only because of He who speaks, but then also combined with He to whom He speaks, and that is man. That is Abraham. Is that ever a wonder to us that the Lord is pleased to condescend to speak unto man? Man in his fallen state has lifted himself up in pride. Then he has a right. And he thinks that he has a right also that God should speak unto him. That God should have dealings with him. That God should give the blessing also unto him. If he only desires it. If he only asks for it. Thus, predestination, that is a stumbling block unto that fallen mankind. But how different that this becomes by the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because then man is losing those rights. And then he has no right that God would speak, that God would look, that God would have dealings, that God would give his blessings unto him. What do we read about Abram? We read here, and Abram fell on his face. There is, congregation, nothing so humbling to a person as when the Most High God would condescend to speak unto us. And Abram fell on his face. There is a second reason that this wonder it is so great to Abram. And what is that? That is because it has been such a long time since the Lord has spoken unto Abram. In the last verse of the last chapter, we read, and Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Then we read in the first verse of this chapter, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram. Thus, 13 years. And that there is silence. We do not say that the Lord did not uphold Abram in those 13 years. Also because the Lord is not necessarily revealing to us in His Word everything that He is doing in this life among His people. But what is the Lord revealing in His Word? And the Lord is revealing in His Word everything that is necessary for the comfort and for the salvation of the soul of His church. And of this we read nothing from this 86th unto this 99th year of Abram. For 13 years. It has been so quiet. The Lord is not speaking unto His people every day and every month or even every year. But when a person has known something of that blessed communion, and when a person has experienced something of that sweetness of the drawing near of the Lord and to know what it is for the Lord to give light in my soul, to speak unto my soul, then that silence, then that quietness of the Lord will be to him such a great burden. And yet it is the way of that true church. Is that also the way in which we are led by the Lord in this life? And yet there is also something else here. What is that? This quietness that is in these years in the life of Abram, and they follow upon Abram's taking of his servant girl Hagar to be his wife. These silent years, they are following upon that moment that Abraham has put his own hand in unto that promise of the Lord to make an attempt to help the Lord to fulfill His own promise. And we cannot believe that there was ever a day that it was really quiet concerning this deed that He has done in those 13 years. When the Lord works, then the Lord gives glory unto Himself. When the Lord works, the Lord will strip a man, the Lord will put everything from the side of man, the strength, the wisdom, the righteousness, the deeds, the life, everything from the side of His people, the Lord will place on the outside. And the Lord will take the honor of the salvation of His people unto Himself. This is what that true church will know in their life. And here it is not so. Here those clear marks of that work of God are missing. That hand of man that has muddied the waters, as so that His people are not able to see clearly their way. It is possible that we attempt to distinguish those nagging doubts And with the seeming blessing of the Lord upon our work, that we say, Ishmael, that is the fruit of it. Thus the Lord has blessed that which I have done, that He has indeed given me a seed, that it was indeed necessary for me to take something of this work into my own hands, that indeed the means were necessary for me to use in this way. It is possible that with this, and that a person attempts to brush away those doubts that are continually every day coming up in his mind. And yet that way is not completely clear. And that people are not able to receive a real inward rest, although they are upholding themselves day by day with the fruit of their hands. And then that quietness from the side of God, the Lord, does not speak. The Lord does not show himself. Is there a people congregation who understands something of the burden which Abram is living with in these 13 years? There is as much to learn from the quietness of the Lord as there is from his speaking. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram, and Abram fell on his face. Or is there a people that understand why Abram here falls upon his face? What a wonder if the Lord would ever come again in my life. Then it will be alone from his sight, and it will be at his good pleasure. But I have made myself unworthy of it. And this is my covenant between me and you. This is now what the Lord says. After these 13 years, when he returns again unto his servant Abram, this is my covenant between me and you. Is that the first time that the Lord has spoken of that covenant in the life of Abram? No. No, we have heard it already in the weeks gone by, in that the Lord has revealed something of that covenant to him. And now what does the Lord do? The Lord comes back and he speaks about it again. Would that not be a wonder, people of the Lord? If the Lord would return and if the Lord would speak about it again to you. What does the Lord do here? He does not introduce that covenant. No, he will establish it and he will reconfirm it in that life of Abraham. Are there those that know of the need for this in their own life? Now the Lord is going to add something to it here. And what is that? That is a sacrament. That is a sign and a seal. Is going to add unto this covenant with Abram. This is the first time that we read of such a sacrament in the Holy Scriptures. What is the purpose? Our children know that. What is the purpose of a sacrament? That is to strengthen faith. Is that necessary in the life of the church of God? Oh, the life of the Father of the faithful is a testimony that this is necessary in the life of his people. And he went in unto Hagar. Yes. Yes, Abraham shows that that is necessary in his own life. The Lord is bringing congregation, his people, so far into the impossibility that from their side, they cannot believe. They cannot believe. And the Lord had sworn to him. We read how that the Lord, with that smoking furnace and that burning lamp, he has gone between those pieces. In that form of that covenant among men, descending from on high to swear unto Abram, to make a covenant, a one-sided covenant unto Abram. And yet it is not enough. It is not sufficient. And Abram went in unto Hagar. And now what does the Lord do? The Lord will add something. He will add this sign. And he will add this seal. This is my covenant which ye shall keep. Between me and you and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised. What does the Lord do? The Lord says, I will put a mark in your flesh, that it may be a help to that little faith. And then the Lord is instructing in the meaning of that mark, the significance of that mark, and he speaks here about two things. Contains on the one side, we heard that in our form for baptism, on the one side a promise, and on the other side a duty of that people. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I am, he says, the Almighty God. He revealed himself before to Abram as Jehovah, as the covenant God. And now he reveals himself by a different, by a new name, that is the name of El Shaddai. That is the Almighty God. What is the meaning of this? Well, that is not only that he is all powerful, but that he is also the all-sufficient God. Thus he says that he will reveal himself here to Abram as he that has the power to fulfill his word even when man cannot see how that it could be fulfilled. Abram, I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. I am the All-Sufficient One. And if I need to overturn the very order of the whole nature of this world, I am able to bring about the fulfillment of my own word. The Thus, the very revelation of this name of the Lord is already a rebuke unto Abram. It is a rebuke unto for his sin. And when the Lord is returning unto his people, then the Lord will instruct his people in their faults. Then he will show to his people what that reason is that he has been so quiet, and that he has not shown himself, that he has not spoken now in these 13 years. But how tenderly. How tenderly that the Lord is showing this sin of Abram unto him. That is, by revealing himself by this new name, Abram, I am El Shaddai, I am the all-sufficient one. Oh, that is enough. And that the people would bathe themselves in their own tears because of their sin. Thus, that is a name revealed to Abram, wherein he receives in the first place a gentle rebuke. But that is a name by which also the Lord gives to Abram an encouragement. It is a name by which the Lord also gives to Abram a precious promise. Oh, the Lord is so good. This, he says, is my covenant between me and you. Oh, what do you think, young people? Happy people? A happy people that are in covenant with the all-sufficient God. Can there be anything lacking to such a people for this life, for a life to come? This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man, child among you, shall be circumcised. This is what the Lord is going to institute. This is what the Lord is going to now add for the sake of his church. And now we see the significance of this sign of the seal, because when the Lord will institute this in the life of Abram and in the life of his entire church, and then at the same time the Lord is revealing himself by this name, I am El Shaddai. That name that was not used in common speech. That name was used only in the language which was high, which was lofty, the language which spoke about the most serious and the highest and the most important matters. Thus, that is a name that is being used by the Lord when he is speaking about the salvation of his own church. Thus, when he says, I am the all-sufficient one, then he is not speaking only about the things of the time, but then he is speaking about, in a special way, the need for the soul of man. Thus, it has to do with the things of eternity, that eternal inheritance. And was not this, congregation, was not this what we have heard was the reason that Abraham could not do without the fulfillment of that promised seed? Because it was in him that the Lord said that all the nations of the world will be blessed. Thus we have said that
Abram is not looking just for a child that he may enjoy in this world, no. But Abram could not do without the Lord. Abram needed a Savior. Abram needed the Messiah. And therefore, Abram needed the fulfillment of that promise of the Lord. Oh, these are the matters in which it becomes so impossible for that true church of God. These are the matters, the spiritual matters, the matters for the need of their soul, in which there seem to be contradiction after contradiction in their life. These are the matters wherein that people, they are so liable to put their own hand to that plow. Why? Because it is a matter of life and death. It has to do with the welfare of my soul, and they cannot do without the Lord. Not for time, not for eternity, and my life that goes onward, I become older and older and older. And I still do not have what I need. All these are the matters wherein there is often so much silence. And if it had to do with the things of this life, it would be one thing. But when the Lord is silent concerning that which I cannot do without, then this is distressing to the soul of that people. And therefore, these are the matters for which the Lord is going to help His people. He is going to help that unbelief. Comfort ye, my people. Those signs and the seals of that sacrament, they have to do with grace. Grace for the soul. In this institution, we have read that the Lord changes the name of Abram. He gives him a new name that is Abraham. What is the meaning of that name? That is multitude. Why? He says, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Thus, those signs, those seals, they are going to be for Abram marks. They're going to be for Abram confirmations. It is going to be for Abram an assurance that the Lord Himself will indeed fulfill His promise, that it is going to all flow out of His all-sufficiency. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Not only will Abram and his church be and the church be blessed through that seed of Abram, because the Messiah, he is going to come through that seed. So not only will he and that church be blessed through that Messiah, but they are going to receive that seed itself is going to be a blessing. That was the promise to Abram when he came out of Ur. Then the Lord said to him two things. He says, I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. Thus the Lord is going to bless that seed of Abraham. And that seed of Abraham and that Messiah who will come from Abraham, he will be a blessing in this world. Therefore, the Lord says, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, that mark that had to be set upon every male in the household of Abraham, in whom was the seed of the generation of that human race, that from them that they may propagate that human race, and that multitude may be built up in this world. And then what does the Lord promise to Abram? He says, I am going to bless them. And that means the Lord says, I am going to work among them. I am going to take my church from out of them. They are the ones who are going to be called by my name. They are the people among whom I am going to receive my glory. I am going to convert them. I am going to regenerate them. I am going to give them my blessing. They are going to be my people. No, not every one of them. But I take my people out from among them. Not out from among this whole world in a general way. And because the Lord says, I am going to take my people out from among them, then he has given this strict demand for the circumcision of their seed of their children. But let us sing. Psalter 397, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. O Lord, thou art my God and King, and I will ever bless thy name. I will extol thee every day and evermore thy praise proclaim. 1, 2, and 5 of Psalter 397.
Our second thought, the demand concerning this sign and seal. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Congregation, in every covenant there are two parties. Therefore, there are two parts. One part laying on the side of each of those parties. However, in the covenant of grace, it is somewhat different, because that is a one-sided covenant from the side of God. Therefore, everything is given from the side of God. There is no requirement now from the side of man. Everything only needs to be received. This receiving, however, that is the most impossible part of that covenant. For that fallen man. Why? That is because it militates against our entire being. In the fall of man, man has lifted himself up in pride. He will not receive anything freely. And why not? Because he receives no honor in this. In that institution of circumcision, the Lord has revealed himself as El Shaddai. The Lord has revealed himself as the all-sufficient one. And man by nature despises him as such, as long as he retains his own self-sufficiency. Then he will not receive it. In every sacrament, think of that, children, boys and girls, when you go home. In every sacrament that the Lord has instituted, he does two things. He very openly exhibits the sin, the guilt, the pollution of man. His need to be washed, to be cleansed, to be forgiven. That is the one thing. And on the other side, he is exalting the all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ over against the need that is laying in his own people. And that is why the natural man, he can receive nothing from the outward sacrament alone. No, that sacrament is to him loathsome in itself. But to those who have been humbled by the Spirit of the Lord, that sacrament is a great comfort. Because they need to receive everything out of that all-sufficient God. This is my covenant between me and you and thy seed after thee, which ye shall keep. Why is it that the Lord will have this covenant to be kept? Well, there is a representation in this. And in all of his sacraments, there is a representation of these two things.
In that sacrament of circumcision, there was in the first place a confession. That is a confession of sin, of filth, of pollution. That is in the need for the cutting away of the foreskin. That organ wherein man has most corrupted himself in this world and become so filthy and polluted. And that same organ that is responsible for the generation of our children, so that we can bring forth nothing clean. Oh, could man be cleansed only in that part, what a different world that you and I would live in. Thus, there is a confession in the first place, in that circumcision, and in the second place, there is a falling. There is a falling under that way of grace. To receive everything out of that name that was revealed in its institution, El Shaddai. Oh, then God, He may receive all the glory in the life of that people. The church congregation must be saved with their hands down. That is what Abraham had to be instructed from the Lord. And in the receiving of that sign, this is the confession of the people. That is the Lord's way. And there is no other way beside this way. This way is pleasing to Him. And therefore the rejection of that circumcision is the rejection of the way of the Lord in the salvation of His people. And the Lord says, the people, when they will reject this way, then they shall be cut off from among my people. They reject my way, and there is no other way. They reject the representation of the way that I will save my people. Own church, and their pride that is preventing themselves from humbling themselves before me to confess what they are and what they remain and where they have to receive it all from. The uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Well, what if, children, there is a little baby and the baby dies? Sometimes they do when they are still young. That baby dies before that he can be circumcised. Will that baby then go lost? No. Why not? Well, the Lord, He is not making salvation to depend upon that sign. No, it is not the sign that gives that people that grace. And such parents, they have not despised that sign and that seal. But in the providence of the Lord,
that sign and that seal could not be received. On the other side, that sign that is so closely connected to the matter that it signifies, that these two are united together to be, the Lord says, one. What does the Lord say here? He says, "This is my covenant." And what is he speaking of? He is speaking of the sign. So the Lord does not even distinguish between the sign and the covenant itself, that is the matter. He unites them together into one. And this is so important to understand. Why? Because we know it is not only a sign, but it becomes also a seal. Oh, young people, do you ever ask the children of the Lord if they may speak once? Do you ever ask that you say, "Will you tell us what the Lord has done in your life? Will you tell us how it went with you?" When you will ask, and that people may be given to say something about what it is in their life, then you will feel that there is one thing that is so important to that people. And what is it? That they may know that it comes from the Lord Himself. That is so often the question. Is it from me? Or is it from the Lord? What difference does that make? That makes all the difference. You understand that. Because when it is from the Lord, then it is true. Then it is authentic. Then it is real. And that is now the most important thing. They want to know it from the Lord. And now what does the Lord say unto Abram? He says, "Abram, this is my covenant. This sign, this seal that comes from me. And therefore it receives its significance, its authority, that it is genuine. Thus, it is by that sign which becomes, by the authority of the Lord, a seal unto the people, that they may be assured of the fulfillment of that promise of the Lord. Thus, it becomes a pleading ground for that people. And that has to do with them, and it has to do with their children. Thus it becomes a pleading ground for them and for their seed. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." That is the other part. That is now the part that belongs unto the people. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Not that salvation lies in the perfection of their walk, no. It lies in the promise. But there is a duty that is now laid upon the people. And what is that? That is to be perfect. What does that mean? It means to be upright. It means to be without hypocrisy. You know where else we read this word? When we read about Enoch, who walked with God. We read about it when we read about Noah, how he walked with God. Thus it speaks about the life of the people, the inward life, the outward life. And what does the Lord say now? It must be a life that is in separation from the world. The Lord says no more to follow after the world, Abram. To marry a second wife. And all the other evil customs of this world. No, walk before me and be thou perfect. And Abram, no more to help yourself. No more. That is the way of the world. That is the way of the natural heart of fallen man. To be helping himself. But he says, Abram, I am El Shaddai. And now, what a comfort for those who have to confess, as that sacrament points out and exhibits in all its reality, sin, filth, pollution of my heart. And for those that have to confess this, and for those who cannot, with Abram, do without the Lord, and for those for whom it becomes indeed impossible, year after year after year, then the Lord says, I am the Almighty God. I am the All-Sufficient One. And I put a mark in your flesh for your comfort, for your strength, that you may look alone to me. Congregation, that is a salvation for which the church of God is going to glorify and to magnify God forever and forever. You too. Oh, baptism, what a great comfort. And what a pleading ground. What an encouragement that we may have in it. Not if we are unconcerned. Not if we do not need the Lord. No, then we don't need encouragement either in it. Congregation, for those who with Abram could not do without the Lord. Are there those also here? And yet you have to say, I am without God in the world. Oh, for your encouragement. For your encouragement. Remember that you are baptized. Because the Lord now promises in that baptism that he will make a separation between those who are baptized and those who refuse that outward sign. And they will not take that baptism on themselves. The Lord says that he promises that he will work amongst the people who submit to receive that sign. Is that not something, boys and girls? Is that not something? That your mother and your Father. May by the providence of the Lord, in the goodness of the Lord, that they may submit to the confession that is made in baptism, that we are filthy and we are polluted and we are born in sin, that we need to be washed, and that everything that has to come out of that all-sufficient God, that is what your Father and your Mother have said. And because and that they were willing to submit to make such a confession, you are placed among those whom the Lord promises that he will work among. It does not mean that it converts you. No. But it means that you may now go on your knees and you may say, Lord, I am also baptized. And Lord, hast thou not promised that thou wouldst work amongst the baptized children? Lord, wilt thou also work in my heart, that it would not testify against me, but that it may be an eternal blessing to the honor of a triune God, to the salvation of my soul. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who hast given that blessed sign and seal, and who promises to work thereunder, oh, we have made such a confession with our mouth, also these parents in this morning hour. But Lord, we need it to be applied to our souls. Oh, how many baptized children, parents, will forever and go lost, and with that sign and seal burning upon our foreheads. Oh, instruct us, Lord, and bless thy word. And wilt thou give the substance that we cannot miss. And wilt thou bring us safely now to our homes and bring us with desire in thy house in this afternoon hour once again, and forgive all that was sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 48, 1, 2, 4, and 8. All ye that fear Jehovah's name, his glory tell, his praise proclaim. Ye children of his chosen race, stand ye in awe before his face. Stand ye in awe before his face. 1, 2, 4, and 8 of Psalter 48.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.